from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, October 10th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
stocks tick lower following a volatile week on Wall Street.
Investors await key inflation data and the kickoff of earnings season.
Could earnings send stocks even lower? We'll have the results of a Bloomberg poll.
And rockets strike Kyiv after Vladimir Putin blames Ukraine for targeting a crucial bridge to Crimea.
Shots rang out near the Long Island home of Republican gubernatorial candidate Lee Zeldin, plus demonstrations grow in Iran involving the so-called morality police. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanchner in sports. The Mets season is over. Shut out by the Padres in the decisive Game 3. Wins for the Giants and Jets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 5 points right now. Dow futures down 8, and NASDAQ futures down at 24. And there is no trading on the bond market today. It's closed in observance of Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6%. Nathan.
And Karen, we begin with news that broke about 10 minutes ago. Former Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, along with Douglas Diamond and Philip Dybvig, have been awarded the 2022 Nobel Prize in Economics for research on banks and financial crises. The three are all U.S.-based economists and will share the $900,000 reward.
Well, we turn to the markets, Nathan, and as I said just moments ago, futures are lower as we begin a new trading week. The S&P 500 has started last week with its biggest two-day rally since the onset of the pandemic, only to fall in the final 3 days, capped off by Friday's jobs report. Investors are betting the Fed will continue its aggressive hiking trail. Brian Jacobson is senior investment strategist at Allspring Global Investments.
You know, Ned Davis was famous for a lot of his wisdom, the trend is your friend, and don't fight the Fed. But now you can kind of paraphrase that by saying don't fight the trend because the Fed isn't your friend, and the trend, unfortunately, is towards weakness.
Allspring Global Investments' Brian Jacobson believes the Fed will keep going with hawkish policy tightening.
In Asia, Karen, shares tumbled amid intensifying concern over rising global interest rates and as Chinese investors return from a week-long holiday to tighter restrictions on American technology. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Chinese stocks fell on their return from the Golden Week holiday, hurt by a global equity sell-off and bleak holiday spending data that deepened concerns about the economic recovery. The CSI 300 was trading at April 2020 lows. Tech stocks fell amid renewed Sino-US tensions, with the Hang Seng Tech Index at January 2019 lows. The offshore yuan strengthened after the PBOC set a stronger yuan fix for a record 28th day. The Aussie dollar fell to April 2020 lows. Markets in Japan, South Korea and Taiwan were closed. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Our stocks are also falling in Europe to begin the week, and we go to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Ewan, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. A gloomy start to trading here in Europe as well, with every major stock market in the red this morning. Consumer products, tech and utilities among the mixed bag of sectors feeling the pressures most so far. The Bank of England, meanwhile, says it's stepping up its support for the UK bond market, which sold off after the government's disastrous mini-budget statements. The bank's aim is to provide longer-term support for a wider range of securities over the coming weeks. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thanks. Back here in the U.S., Allianz Chief Economic Advisor Mohamed El-Erian's continuing his criticism of the Fed. He's blaming the central bank for what he calls the very high risk of a recession.
Not only does it have to overcome inflation, but it has to restore its credibility. So, yes, I fear that we risk a very high probability of a damaging recession that was totally avoidable.
Allianz Chief Economic Advisor and Bloomberg contributor Mohamed El-Erian made the comments on CBS's Face the Nation. Catch the program Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, on the economic front this week, Nathan, we get minutes from the Fed September meeting as well as key readings on inflation. The producer price index comes out on Wednesday, followed by consumer prices on Thursday. Earnings season begins this week, too, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Banks, including J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and Morgan Stanley, will be front and center as companies report third-quarter results amid a rising rate environment, higher energy costs, and geopolitical uncertainty. Jessica Beamer is portfolio manager at Easterly Investment Partners.
I'm actually really excited to hear from companies because they are able to really give us, obviously, some perhaps short-term negatives, but long-term guidance on how they plan to react to the current environment. That tends to be a good thing for stocks.
This week, we'll also hear from BlackRock, Delta Airlines, PepsiCo, PNC, and United Health. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Investors don't expect this earnings season to be a pretty one. More than 60% of respondents to the latest Bloomberg MLive Pulse survey say earnings will push the S&P 500 even lower. About half of poll participants also expect equity valuations to pull back even further from their average of the past decade.
Well, the strong dollar is also likely to be a headwind during this earnings season, Nathan. That's according to strategists at Goldman Sachs, who say U.S. companies generated 30% of revenues overseas. The bank also says elevated inflation and high inventories pose risks to earnings.
In geopolitical news, Karen, Kiev has been hit by explosions this morning, 2 days after an attack on a key bridge between Crimea and Russia. A Ukrainian official says at least 8 people have been killed and another 24 wounded in today's strikes. Russian President Vladimir Putin is blaming Ukraine for the bridge attack. He meets with the Security Council today. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky appeared to make a not-so-subtle mention of the bridge attack in his daily address.
Today was a good and mostly sunny day on the territory of our state. Unfortunately, it was cloudy in Crimea, although it is also warm. But no matter how cloudy it is, Ukrainians know what to do, and they know that our future is sunny.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky spoke there through a translator.
Well, on another geopolitical flashpoint, Nathan, Taiwan says there will be no compromise on its sovereignty or democracy. That came hours after Elon Musk tweeted that the self-ruled island should adopt a Hong Kong-style governance model. China's hailing the idea, but Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen says Beijing should not make any misjudgment on account of Taiwan's vigorous democratic system.
S&P futures right now are down 5 points, Dow futures down 17, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 30 points. No Treasury trading today. It is a federal holiday in observance of Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it is now 6:07 on Wall Street. We're at 52 degrees in Central Park. We got a crash westbound Belt Parkway at Merrick Boulevard. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Police say there's no apparent connection between a shooting outside Lee Zeldin's home in Shirley, Long Island, Sunday afternoon, and the Republican nominee for New York governor. Investigators say two teenage boys tried to hide under Zeldin's front porch after the drive-by shooting. Zeldin says his twin teenage daughters were home at the time, and when they heard the gunshots, they locked themselves in a bathroom and called 911. Speaking to reporters outside his home, the New York congressman said the shooting is representative of a larger problem with society.
At what point are we supposed to talk about the crime on our own streets? I'm standing in front of crime scene tape in front of my own house. You can't get me more outraged than right now.
Congressman Zeldin says his security cameras photographed the people. The two people shot were taken to hospitals. More Republicans are pledging support for Herschel Walker. The Senate GOP candidate in Georgia is facing fallout over reports that he once paid for an ex-girlfriend's abortion. The Republican Senatorial Committee Chair, Senator Rick Scott, will campaign with Walker, who is a staunch anti-abortion candidate. Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock holds a slight lead in the polls in the state. Violent anti-government protests are intensifying and spreading in Iran, sparked by anger over the killing of a woman who was arrested by the so-called morality police and then dying in police custody. The protests starting 4 weeks ago with the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini for allegedly wearing her hijab improperly. One woman protesting in Iran says enough is enough. Meanwhile, Iran analyst Holly Dagruz says these demonstrations are extraordinary.
They're chanting death to the dictator, death to Khamenei. They're removing their headscarves. There's been viral videos of Iranian girls flipping the bird at the supreme leader of Iran's photo or stomping on his photo in classrooms.
Analyst Holly Dagruz. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said he launched a new ballistic missile and simulated tactical nuclear strikes during recent military drills. It is the latest sign that North Korea is preparing for its first atomic test in 5 years. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Going up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stasher.
All right, Nathan, only one Mets team in their history won more games than this one. That was 1986, which also happens to be the last time the Mets won the World Series. This team won 101 games, but that was not enough to even win the division. And the concern was that the Mets were now going to have to play a short best-of-three wildcard series where they could run into some good pitching and be out quickly, and that's exactly what happened. The Padres, Yu Darvish, shut him down in game one, and Joe Musgrove was dominant in last night's game three. In fact, his stat line, 7 scoreless innings, only 1 hit allowed, the best in postseason history in a winner-take-all game. San Diego won 6-0 to advance to play the Dodgers. The Yankees game one with Cleveland at the stadium tomorrow night. Yanks had a mandatory workout last Friday. Aroldis Chapman did not show up. There was talk the Yanks were not going to put him on their playoff roster, and now they definitely won't. Chapman's going to be a free agent, so safe to say his Yankee career is over. As for New York football, the Jets are 3-2, first time since 2017. They blew out Miami 40-17 for their first home win, their first win within the AFC East in almost 3 years. Rookie running back Breece Hall rushed for 97 yards, also had a 79-yard reception. The Giants are 4-1. They went 4-13 last season. In London, they came from 2 touchdowns down against the Packers.
6:23 to go, game tied at 20. First and goal Giants at the 2.
Wildcat
formation with Barkley and Brightwell this time. Jones lined up left. Saquon takes the snap. Saquon bounces outside. Barkley's in for the touchdown, and the Giants have the lead with 6:08 to go.
And WFAN Giants then stopped Green Bay on a late drive and won 27-22. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. S&P futures now down 7 points. Dow futures down 32. NASDAQ futures are lower by 40 points. Up next, the latest from Ukraine. After a barrage of missile strikes on key cities, we get the very latest with Bloomberg's executive editor for international government, Rosalind Matheson. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. These clouds will be followed by sunshine this afternoon. Upper 60s for highs. Will be sunny tomorrow, near 70 degrees, and partial sunshine, high near 70 for Wednesday. Right now, 52 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And European stocks are lower for a fourth straight day. U.S. stock index futures also declining as concerns mount that central bank policy tightening was set to take a heavy toll on the global economy and company earnings. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 9 points. Dow futures down 41. NASDAQ futures down 43. And the DAX in Germany is moving higher. It's up about 0.5%. There's no trading on the Treasury markets today in the U.S. That is due to the Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day holidays. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% on 53 cents at $92.11 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.4% on $23.40 at $16.85.90 an ounce. Euro 0.9703 against the dollar. British pound 1.1070. And the yen 145.45. Look at it, Bitcoin. It's down 0.8% at $19,300. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Several explosions were heard in Ukraine's capital city, Kyiv, today. It comes as Russian leader Vladimir Putin will meet with his top security officials in Moscow following the bombing of Europe's longest bridge linking annexed Crimea to the Russian mainland. The Nobel Prize in Economic Sciences was jointly awarded to former Fed Chair Ben Bernanke, Douglas Diamond, and Philip Dybig for research on banks and financial crises. In baseball, the season is over for the Mets. They lost to the Padres 6-0 in the deciding Game 3 of their NL wildcard series. In football, the Giants lost in London. The Jets won along with the Patriots, Ravens, and 49ers. The Commanders lost. I am so sorry. The Giants won in London. My apologies on that. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Blame the time change. Thank you, Michael. 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get you the latest now on the war in Ukraine, where Russia has hit Kyiv and other major cities with what may be the most intense missile barrage since the invasion began in February, coming a day after Vladimir Putin blamed Ukraine for an attack on a landmark bridge to Crimea. Joining us now is Rosalind Matheson, Bloomberg News Executive Editor for International Government. Roz, it feels like this attack on the Crimean Bridge is serving as something of a pivot point in this war. What is the latest? We have a lot of developments coming in just the last few minutes.
Well, certainly we can see the pattern of escalation coming here from the Russian president, and that's because his forces have been on the back foot on the ground in Ukraine for some months now. We've seen a successful counteroffensive by Ukraine in the east and some advancements made in the south, and that's really bogged his war down. He's announced a partial mobilization. He's announced the annexation of areas of Ukraine that are occupied by Russia, but he's still struggling for traction. And now really this prestige blow with this big fireball that hit this bridge that links Crimea to the Russian mainland on the weekend. And that's a bridge that really Putin himself endorsed. He opened it by driving a truck over it after it was built. And it's an essential logistical link between Crimea and Russia, and certainly for the war. And the fact that it was hit, Ukraine, has not claimed responsibility, is a big setback. So we're seeing retaliation essentially today with a blizzard of missile strikes on Ukrainian cities, 75 missiles in total, although half of those were intercepted and shot down. And again, the idea that he's hitting cities, he's hitting infrastructure, these are not necessarily military targets, but trying to send a message to Ukraine that he's going to continue no matter what.
And I've seen some headlines just cross a reaction from the European Union that the Russia apparently targeting civilians once again amounts to a war crime, ramping up those harsh forms of rhetoric. What further response could we see from NATO and particularly the U.S. now that we're seeing this intense barrage coming from Russia?
Well, certainly we're expecting the group of seven leaders to speak today by phone. That's in a couple of hours. And they will also speak with the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, as part of that. And you're going to see probably expressions, obviously, of condemnation for the attacks that have happened today, a promise again to stand united behind Ukraine and promises to continue to send them weapons. The question is that will NATO allies really send Ukraine the weapons that it's been calling for? It's saying that it needs fighter jets, it needs Western-made tanks, it needs much more advanced equipment that it's getting, and you've seen NATO countries being quite cautious about doing that and so far resisting those calls. So it's really whether at this point NATO makes a decision to sort of send different kinds of weapons into Ukraine. They've really kind of sanctioned Russia as much as they can. There's not much else to do there. So really expressions of unity probably and the desire to keep supporting Kyiv as much as they can.
And in those comments that the president made that got so much attention about the threat of nuclear Armageddon from Russia, he also said that the U.S. is trying to find an off-ramp for President Putin. Given the developments we've seen just over the weekend and into this morning, what's a potential off-ramp look like? We've got about a minute left here, Roz.
Well, that is the question. How do you come back from this? At this point, the question is, does the Russian president risk his own hold on power and his prestige at home? He's backed himself into a corner with this war, and it's very hard to get out of it. He doesn't really have the ability to hold on to territory. So what does an off-ramp look for? Because Ukraine won't cede territory in order to negotiate a solution to this. Does this war just simply go into a semi-frozen conflict through the winter as each military tries to regroup? But right now, there's very little that anyone can see, really, which is a way to navigate Vladimir Putin out of this in a way that he can claim that he got something.
Thanks, as always, for your insights, Roz. Great having you on with us this morning. Rosalind Matheson, our executive editor for international government for Bloomberg News, as we continue to follow developments following this barrage of missile attacks on Kyiv and other cities in Ukraine from Russia following the explosion on that bridge over Crimea. We'll continue monitoring developments, particularly with those G7 talks set to get underway in just a couple of hours. Looking ahead to the market open this morning, futures are moving lower. We've got S&P futures down by 9 points right now. Dow futures are down 47 points. NASDAQ futures are lower by 42 points. No trading in the Treasury market for a federal holiday. NYMEX crude down 0.5% right now at $92.19 a barrel. The euro at 0.9703 against the dollar. Bitcoin lower on the session at about $19,300. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Morning cloudiness will be followed by afternoon sunshine and highs in the upper 60s today. Sunshine and near 70 tomorrow. Partly sunny Wednesday with a high near 70. Right now cloudy, 53 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things that you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR Event Trader offers a new way to trade futures. Use event contracts to trade your opinion on yes or no questions in key CME futures markets. Learn more at eventtrader.interactivebrokers.com. Up first, former Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, along with Douglas Diamond and Philip Dybvig, have been awarded the 2022 Nobel Prize in Economics Sciences for research on banks and financial crises. The three will share the $900,000 award.
Turning to the markets, Karen, futures are lower, but they're off their worst levels of the morning. Stocks are coming off three straight days of losses. Brian Jacobson, senior investment strategist at Allspring Global Investments, says investors are betting the Federal Reserve continues its aggressive hiking trail.
I think that Fed pivot, that's not going to happen until they take the blinders off, right? And I don't think that they really want to even contemplate changing their tune until they get to 4.5% with the Fed funds rate.
Allspring Global Investments' Brian Jacobson says if there is a broad economic recession, it would likely come in 2023.
Well, U.S. Allianz Chief Economic Advisor and Bloomberg Opinion Contributor Mohamed Alarian is echoing those recession risks, and he's blaming the central bank for what he calls the very high risk of a recession.
Not only does it have to overcome inflation, but it has to restore its credibility. So, yes, I fear that we risk a very high probability of a damaging recession that was totally avoidable.
Allianz Chief Economic Advisor and Bloomberg Contributor Mohamed Alarian made the comments on CBS Face the Nation. Catch the program Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, meanwhile, Karen, investors will sort through some key economic data this week. We get the minutes from the September Fed meeting, PPI on Wednesday, and CPI Thursday. All this just as earnings season gets underway.
Well, Nathan, investors don't expect this earnings season to be a very pretty one. More than 60% of respondents in the latest Bloomberg MLive Pulse survey say this earnings season will push the S&P 500 index even lower. About half of poll participants also expect equity valuations to pull back even further from their average of the past decade.
And in geopolitical news, Karen, Kyiv has been hit by explosions this morning, 2 days after an attack on a key bridge between Crimea and Russia. A Ukrainian official says at least 8 people have been killed and dozens were wounded in today's strikes.
And that's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And futures lower. S&P futures down about 10 points. Dow futures down 44 and NASDAQ futures down 45. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by the New York Community Trust. Your name will live on as a champion of the causes you care about for years to come through a charitable bequest to the New York Community Trust. Learn more at philanthropist.nyc. Let's bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Two people were shot and injured outside New York Congressman Lee Zeldin's Long Island home. His twin daughters were inside. One called 911 and the other called Zeldin, who was at the Bronx Columbus Day Parade with his wife. Zeldin says it was a frantic moment.
When Michaela had called Diane and I, she was in the upstairs bathroom locked in. The way this started, the two of them were at the kitchen table doing homework, and they hear gunshots.
Congressman Zeldin says, I'm standing in front of crime scene tape in front of my own house. You can't get me more outraged than right now. It's unclear who the perpetrators or victims are and why the shooting happened. North Korea said today its recent barrage of missile launches were tests of its tactical nuclear weapons to hit and wipe out potential South Korean and U.S. targets. Missile and Asia-Pacific expert Ankit Panda says this is North Korea's way of showing resolve as the U.S. and South Korea recently held joint military exercises.
We are back in a familiar cycle that we saw in 2017 and earlier, when we would effectively see a spiral where the North Koreans would carry out shows of force in response to shows of force by the United States and its allies, which in turn would lead to additional shows of force by the North Koreans.
Ankit Panda with the Nuclear Policy Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Demonstrations are spreading as Iranian women are going head-to-head with security forces after the killing of a woman who was arrested by the so-called morality police for incorrectly wearing her headscarf. She later died in police custody. Hackers targeted an Iranian state TV newscast. A mask appeared on screen, followed by a picture of the supreme leader, the Ayatollah, surrounded by flames. Former President Trump says the government documents, including classified and top secret papers retrieved by the FBI, should be returned to him. At his rally last night in Mesa, Arizona, Trump mentioned the government documents taken with a court-approved search warrant from his Florida resort.
There is no crime. You know, there is no crime. It's not a crime. And they should give me immediately back everything that they've taken from me, because it's mine. It's mine.
Former President Trump. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Steshauer has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Virtually all season, the Mets were looking like a team that was not going to have to play in the wild card round, but 101 wins, not enough. Atlanta got the bye. Mets had to play the Padres, and San Diego won the decisive Game 3 at Citi Field 6-0. The Mets in 7 innings against Joe Musgrove got one hit. Musgrove's stat line, the best in postseason history in a winner-take-all game. The San Diego hitting star of the series was Trent Grisham, who batted 184 in the regular season. He went 4-for-8, 2 homers, scored 5 runs, also made a terrific catch last night. Buck Showalter's first season as Mets manager comes to an end.
I feel for the players because they put so much into it, and we're such a special group. You know, it's like I just told them, you know, it's not always fair. You know, I don't think I've ever had such a good blend of good people and good players.
Sixth inning last night, Showalter asked the umpires to check Musgrove for a foreign substance. They rubbed Musgrove's ears, found no evidence. The division series start tomorrow. Padres move on to play the Dodgers. The Yankees will take on the Cleveland Guardians. Aroldis Chapman will not be on the Yankees postseason roster. That was made certain when Chapman didn't show up for last Friday's workout. The surprising starts for the Jets and Giants continue. The Jets finally won a division game, first in almost 3 years. They blew out Miami at MetLife 40-17. They're now 3-2, and the Giants are a shocking 4-1 despite several injuries. They went to London, came from 2 touchdowns down to stun Green Bay, 27-22, dominated the second half. Daniel Jones outplayed Aaron Rodgers. Last night, Baltimore kicked a last-second field goal to beat Cincinnati. John Steshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in this pre-market. Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta joins us this morning, starting off with some analyst downgrades, or maybe we can call them downshifts, since they're about automakers, Kriti.
A good one, Nathan.
Thank you.
Way to kick off the morning quite well. I was wondering where you were going with it, but a good one nevertheless. I want to start with those car makers. Ford specifically, F is your ticker, down 4.5% in the pre-market. General Motors not far behind. GM is your ticker, down about 3.3% in the pre-market. You're right. This does come from some analyst calls, a pretty big move on a day that futures are only down about 0.3%. Ford was downgraded to a sell from a neutral over at UBS. They're citing weak profit margins for the car maker. GM, on the other hand, cut to a neutral from a buy over at UBS as well, seeing, quote, demand destruction. Forget this, Nathan. It's EV segment after a strong start. And it's not the only one. We're talking about EVs, though. I want to throw in very quickly Rivian. R-I-V-N is your ticker. Really taking it on the chin today. Shares are down about 6.3% in the pre-market. They said they're going to recall about 13,000 vehicles they delivered to customers after discovering a minor structural defect. That is almost all of the cars that they delivered, Nathan, and that's actually a really significant deal because not too long ago, they were just starting to make deliveries to customers in the first place. So not exactly a sign of confidence here.
And speaking of weak sentiment sort of moving across sectors here, it looks like the chip sector is getting hit pretty hard with these new restrictions from the U.S. on China's access to U.S. technology.
It absolutely is, and you're seeing this across the board. This was really last week's story that has kind of bled in over the weekend. The idea here being that President Biden isn't going to really let up on this idea of restricting these exports to chips companies. Remember, it's all pieces or technology that ultimately goes into the chip sector in itself. So the parts for the ultimate chip, some parts of it come from the United States, go to China, they're built into the chips in China, and then come back to the United States and the rest of the world to supply it. But if you have that tiny piece that's exported from the U.S., no longer exported from the U.S., that massive Chinese chip industry really takes a hit. And it's that idea that's hitting the entire chip sector, because even some of these American companies have massive exposure to the Chinese sector. So NVIDIA shares, as you mentioned, NVDA down 1.2%. Advanced Micro Devices, AMD, not too far behind, down 1.3%. And of course, you have to look at Applied Materials as well. AMAT is your ticker there. Those shares are down 1.2%, Nathan.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta getting us ready for what's going to be a very busy week when it comes to inflation data as well as the kickoff of earnings season. Kriti, as always, thanks for the look ahead to the market open. Futures moving lower as a whole. S&P futures down almost 9 points now. Dow futures are down 32. NASDAQ futures lower by 40 points. No trading in treasuries this morning. It is a federal holiday in observance of Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day. NYMEX crude is down 0.4% at $92.28 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Morning clouds to give way to afternoon sunshine and a high near 70 degrees today. Sunny near 70 tomorrow and Wednesday as well. Right now, cloudy, 53 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest losses in U.S. futures right now, with Dow futures down 51 points, S&P's drop 11, NASDAQ futures decline by 49. The U.S. bond market is closed. Gold is down 15, oil is in the red, and Bitcoin is down by 1%. Hong Kong dropped 3% overnight, while European markets are mostly in the red this morning. And note the Bank of England expanded its emergency support for the U.K. bond market. Back in the U.S., nothing to report on the economic front. And in other news, Rivian says it will recall about 13,000 EVs delivered to customers. Those shares down 6% in the pre-market. And the first 737 MAX flight took place in China after almost 4 years. Wrapping things up, Kraft Heinz was raised to buy over at Goldman Sachs. Ford was cut to sell over at UBS. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Missiles struck Kyiv, another Ukrainian city, is early today. It comes 2 days after an attack on the Kyiv bridge to Crimea that Russian President Vladimir Putin blamed on Ukraine. In baseball, the season is over for the Mets. They lost to the Padres 6-0. In the deciding game 3 of their NL wildcard series. The NFL implemented new concussion protocols ahead of Sunday's games. Miami Dolphins backup quarterback Teddy Bridgewater took a hit yesterday and was evaluated for a head injury. The NFL and Players Union adopted the new protocols after reviewing the response to Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa's concussion injury. In football, the Giants won in London. The Jets won along with the Patriots, Ravens, and 49ers. The Commanders lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Working from home is not an urban escape hatch. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The shift to remote work during the pandemic allowed people with professional and management jobs to do them from almost anywhere, which turns out to have been mainly big city neighborhoods and close-in suburbs. Recently released Census Bureau data shows that the percentage of workers doing so from home last year was highest in central Washington, D.C., at almost 57%. Next up, the Inner Mission and Castro in San Francisco, followed by Seattle's downtown and some nearby neighborhoods. Also high on the list were Park Slope in Brooklyn and the suburbs where Apple, Microsoft, and Google are based. This could indicate that there's still lots of pent-up demand for housing far from traditional job centers. It might also mean that cities and suburbs have attractions beyond just proximity to the office. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by the Bloomberg NJIT, the New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT. What will you make at NJIT? Learn more at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. China is stepping up efforts to contain COVID outbreaks ahead of the Party Congress. Nearly 1,900 cases were reported yesterday, the highest level in almost 2 months, fueling concerns about widening lockdowns rippling across financial hubs of Shanghai. News out of Rivian this morning, the electric vehicle maker says it will recall about 13,000 vehicles after discovering a minor structural defect. Rivian saying no injuries have resulted from this issue. And the crypto management carousel just keeps on spinning. The latest in a spate of C-suite departures in the sector comes from non-fungible token marketplace OpenSea, where Brian Roberts has exited from the role of chief financial officer after less than a year in the job. The digital asset sector has shed $2 trillion in value since a November 2021 peak, crushed by tightening monetary policy and blowups at crypto firms. Trading volumes for NFTs, digital art, and other collectibles recorded on blockchains have also sunk. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Thank you, Karen. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's almost 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the White House monitoring developments in Ukraine after President Biden's warnings of nuclear Armageddon from Russia. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby tells ABC's This Week the U.S. is not shifting its own nuclear posture.
What the president was reflecting was that the stakes are high right now, given what's going on the battlefield in Ukraine and given the very irresponsible and reckless comments made by Vladimir Putin in just the last few days.
But former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tells Fox News Sunday President Biden's rhetoric was reckless, too.
When you hear president talking about Armageddon as a random thought, just musing at a fundraiser, that is a terrible risk to the American people if he truly believes that he ought to be out talking to us in a serious way.
Also making news, the White House opened to talks with North Korea even after its barrage of ballistic missile tests. John Kirby again on This Week.
We are willing to sit down with them without preconditions at the negotiating table to work towards that end, without preconditions. Mr. Kim Jong-un has decided not to take us up on that offer.
And with less than a month till the midterms, Democratic Congresswoman Elisa Slotkin's calling for fresh blood in leadership.
I'm one of just a handful of members of Congress who hasn't voted for Nancy Pelosi as Speaker. And I've said I think we need new leaders.
Congresswoman Slotkin was on NBC's Meet the Press. And Allianz Chief Economic Advisor Mohamed El-Erian is repeating his warning of a policy mistake by the Federal Reserve tipping the economy into a recession. The Bloomberg Opinion columnist was a guest on CBS's Face the Nation.
Mischaracterizing inflation as transitory, by that they meant it is temporary, it's reversible, don't worry about it. That was mistake number one. And then mistake number two, when they finally recognized that inflation was persistent and high, they didn't act.
Face the Nation, Meet the Press, This Week and Fox News Sunday can all be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. Let's bring in Terry Haynes now, founder of Pangea Policy, as we continue monitoring developments in Ukraine, this barrage of missile attacks from Russia on Kyiv and other major cities. What kind of White House reaction, Terry, are you looking for after all this?
Good morning, Nathan. What I'm looking for from the White House, frankly, is kind of stay the course, continue to support the Ukrainian response to the Russian invasion, and and I think the rhetoric will not change. The resolve will not change. And frankly, I don't expect conditions on the ground in Ukraine to change a whole lot. You've got these sort of rocket attacks going on, but at the same time, the situation on the ground continues to favor Ukraine, and that's very good, although I wouldn't look for the White House or anybody else to suggest that there's going to be some kind of quick victory for Ukraine.
Now, the president has gotten some round of criticism for talking about a threat of nuclear Armageddon from Russia. The White House has sort of had to talk that back a bit. Is this a big concern in Washington?
Well, yeah, I think it is, frankly. I mean, you hear it an awful lot under the radar as well. You know, this constant kind of, you know, Biden says one thing and the White House walks back. This has been, you know, going on for so long, I don't have to spill out the details or former examples for you. But, you know, it behooves the White House to state the obvious, have a precise message and not be in a situation where the president's rhetoric then brings up the entirely logical question of whether or not our force posture has changed, whether our nuclear posture has changed, or anything else. There's credibility, the White House's credibility is at stake as much as anything else, and so they've got to get a handle on that.
Is the concern about credibility something that could play into the midterm election now just 4 weeks and a day away?
Oh, I think it's an absolute spice, but the people that are concerned about Biden will continue to be concerned about Biden, and the people that like the policies that have passed so far will continue to like and prefer those. The thing for markets that I think everybody needs to understand is regardless of which party ends up in the majority in both houses, they're going to be very small majorities. There is not going to be control the way that so many political people like to talk about it. There won't be control. What you'll get is pretty much the same. You'll get continued gridlock on most domestic matters, consistent spending, but you'll also get a continued unanimity in foreign policy, whether it be China or Russia, Ukraine.
So just in our last 30 seconds here, it sounds like you're saying more of the same in terms of lack of progress on any major policy initiative.
Oh yeah, I think so. You know, there's not going to be a big sweep that allows one party to assert some kind of control. And even if it were the Republicans, say, you'd still have a Democratic president in office. But the margins that are being looked at by me and by others across the board really are very small. I mean, if there's a majority in a Senate, for example, it'll be 1 to 2 seats either way, certainly not enough to change much. And, probably a 20 seat at the most majority for Republicans in the House, which, again, is not very large. And, you still have to count every vote.
Thanks, as always, Terry. Good having you on with us this morning. Terry, founder of Pangea Policy. Read more about what's happening in Washington on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Futures are moving lower as we kick off a week dominated by inflation data and the kickoff of earnings season. Bloomberg Surveillance is up next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.